So I've got with me here today, Hazel Pryor. And the reason you're here today and you're not on stage is that, unfortunately, because of this blessed coronavirus thing, we were unable to do an event, but we're doing this podcast instead. So let me ask you about this book, Away With The Penguins, your second book.
Yes.
Hey.
Published today, very day.
Brilliant. That difficult second book. Let me say, first of all, let me be honest, first of all. I haven't quite finished it. I'm two-thirds of the way through because of all the disruptions. But I'm really enjoying it. You know, they talk about that difficult second book, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it is great. I love
it. Even better than the first?
Well, I haven't finished it, remember. I haven't finished it. Both great books, obviously. But let me ask you first about the background, how you thought of the idea. It's called Away With The Penguins. And, what's it all about? Where did your idea come from?
Okay, so I'll tell you about the idea a bit before I tell you about the book.
Okay.
So the idea was, basically, penguins was the first sort of conception I had.
Right.
And there were various reasons for this. One was that I had a two-book deal with Penguin Random House. So that kind of put that little quirky bird into my head.
Yeah.
The second thing was that I have a very close friend who is mad about penguins. Mm. And she, in fact, is a very, very talented photographer.
Is there a name for someone who's mad about penguins? A penguin Easter or something.
Should be.
We'll think about that. Yeah.
So she is one of those people. And I think there are many around the world. But she has become even more inspired in recent years. She went through a very terrible personal tragedy. Her husband died very suddenly of a heart attack. And she is somebody who sort of works in the areas of resilience.
Right.
And she decided she needed a goal to keep her going.
Right.
And she made her goal to travel around the world to all the penguin populated countries, which are all in the southern hemisphere, and take photographs of every single species of penguin in the wild.
Extraordinary.
In their own habitat.
Extraordinary.
And she has done that. She's now on her, I think it's the 17th or 18th species of penguin.
Right.
At this very moment, she's sailing somewhere in the seas between South America and South Africa.
Right.
Actually stuck because she's not allowed to land at the moment.
Really?
But she has just taken photographs of the northern rockhopper penguin, which is a very rare one.
Yeah.
So she obviously was a huge inspiration for the book because I wanted somebody who sort of found redemption through penguins.
Right, okay. Because the story is not just about going to observe penguins.
It is not.
It's symbolic of a lot of things, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And I was very inspired by penguins' resilience and feistiness in the face of things going wrong, which is sort of relevant at the moment as well, in fact. Her story obviously put that in my mind, and I wanted my main character, who's nothing like Ursula, to be somebody who had been through an awful lot, although it was quite way back in her past, and who found some kind of a healing, really, through penguins, through their example of just sturdiness and strength and survival in the face of terrible, harsh conditions.
Yes. They're also quite funny, penguins.
Absolutely.
They have that funny thing. And I have to say, this book is, I love the humour. I love the character, of the main character, Virginia McCreadie.
No, Veronica McCreadie.
Veronica, sorry. We'll cut that. Veronica McCreadie, sorry. But I love her. She's Scottish, lives in Scotland.
Yes.
And she's in her 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you about that as well. How do you get inside an 80-plus-year-old character? Was it easy, or...?
I found it worryingly easy, actually.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you think yourself as an 80-year-old?
I imagined. Well, I've been through sort of quite a lot of physical pains and illnesses, so I kind of could imagine that side fairly well.
Yeah.
I'm sort of quite an achy person, so I kind of exaggerated that a bit.
Yeah.
But also, I know quite a few old people.
Mm.
I regularly play my harp. Here's my harp with us today.
Yeah.
I regularly play my harp in care homes,
and quite often
in front of people who are in their 80s, 90s, sometimes even 100-year-olds.
Yes.
And I find them very inspiring and very fascinating because they're so full of stories and they've seen the world change so much in their lifetime.
It's easy for the rest of us just to put them into one block as those older people, and you forget their histories and stories that they've got, you know.
This is one of the things, because I'm so inspired by that, and I wanted to just make people think, this isn't just an old person. Don't just see somebody with wrinkles.
No.
See all the history and the stories and the experiences and you know, stuff that's been in their lives. Mm. And I sort of, to start with, you see Veronica as just a kind of really curmudgeonly old person. And then bits of her past begin to open out, and you realise there's so many more layers to her, and that's sort of something I wanted people to think about.
I mean, it is very funny. I mean, because she is, as you say, curmudgeonly. She's also very acerbic. You know?
Yes.
There's a poor helper called Eileen. You know,
her poor helper. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Who's lovely. You know.
Yes. And, but slightly gets everything wrong the whole time and rubs Veronica up the wrong way.
And this thing I like is this thing about the doors, because I'm a bit like that. Because we have this argument, me and Jo, my wife. I like doors shut and she likes them open. And so I could really appreciate, because I'm not giving too much away, so it's saying whenever anyone leaves the door open...
There could be deep psychological reasons for that. See,
Veronica
always likes...
I really said Virginia again.
Doors
Veronica,
closed,
whoever it is, whatever status they have, she'll ask them to close the door.
Yes. So she is and closed. She's a closed person, you see. Yeah. I hope that doesn't apply to you, Lana.
No. Well, I don't think so. I just like to be warm and snug.
At the end, though, for a certain reason, she doesn't mind the doors being... open so much. I'll let you
yes
into that
well we don't story. We okay. don't want to give the end okay. away and yeah. I can't because I haven't read the last few pages but there's also a secondary character. I mean, I don't know how much you want
to
read.
It's told
about
from
this.
Two different viewpoints
your last book, interestingly. You've used this device again. Two main characters. You're getting inside both their heads. You're telling it from both of their sides. There are lots of other interesting, let's say, minor characters in between. And that device seems to work very well for you. This one is totally different. Shall I let you explain? Patrick.
Yes, Patrick is the other character. So Veronica speaks in quite a stuffy, formal kind of way and is very acerbic and sarcastic. Whereas Patrick is kind of young, 27-year-old, a bit of a dropout layabout type, and talks in short sentences and doesn't quite have Veronica's vocabulary, but he's also quite charming in his own way. But they immediately, as soon as they meet each other, they judge each other, and they meet in under terrible circumstances. I'll let you into that as well. Yeah. And come away with the worst possible impression of each other. Yeah. So I sort of wanted to describe the story from both their points of view, and how they eventually, in Antarctica amongst the penguins, come together and see the other sides of each other and begin to realise all the other aspects and that there's good in both of them, and to find those strands of goodness in amongst all the other mess, the human mess that we all have.
And of course... Veronica doesn't have an unblemished past, does she? I mean, this is...
Not at all, no.
So we've got this big backstory as well, going back to the Second World War.
Yes, so that was another area that I had to research quite a bit, and I talked to the people in the care homes about their wartime memories, so I was lucky I had a few contacts there who were willing to share that. And also my own parents, sadly no longer with us, they were... quite a lot older, and my mother was a teenager during the war. She was her whole school was evacuated, so I do remember some of the stories that she used to tell us about going to school in the milk float and about being evacuated in this huge country.
Whereabouts was that? Because there's a lot of evacuation to Taunton. It's a big
right.
A lot of were evacuated to Taunton, but also it was a passing on point. You know, a lot of people came to Taunton and then were sort of farmed out into the countryside.
She wasn't one of those. She was up in the north. Yes, but yes, it's such an interesting time, really.
Yes, absolutely.
And life being so different then. And everybody having to muck together in a way, bringing people together and bringing people on the edge, but everyone also just trying to seize happiness wherever they could, any little moment of it, because
the
you never knew.
Parallels are uncanny.
I know. Who knew this was going to happen?
Our leaders are invoking the wartime spirit already.
Yes. So. But it is an uplifting story. There's darkness in there, but it hopefully gives you a bit of hope. And should be a fun read during these dark times when we don't have much else to do and we're stuck at home. Hopefully that it will spur people on and give people a bit of a smile and think about penguins too, and they're just lovable, aren't they, and charming. So
Absolutely. Well, I'd say I'm enjoying it so much, and I think you've done that difficult thing. You've made your second book really great. You know, I'm sure it's going to do really well. It's one of those quirky, interesting, funny stories that will get us through these difficult times, and I thoroughly recommend it.
Thank you. And can I just say, we're at Brendan Books in Taunton, which is a fabulous independent bookshop. And please support your independent bookshops at this time, especially Brendan Books.
Yeah. Well, you can order it from us now. You can get on, we can post it.
Yes.
We can deliver it within Taunton. 01823 337 742, or go to our website, www.brendanbooks.co.uk, and contact us through there. But thank you so much, Hazel.
Thank you very much for having me.
And good luck with it.
Thank you so much, Lionel.